This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Tuesday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, this it feels like one of those kind of calm after the storms Tuesday, but with FIFA World Cup right here, we got the United States Open coming up in about 48 hours from right now. There's always something next on the horizon.
A great friend of the show, Gordon Gekko, always told us money never sleeps. And so we continue, whether it be burning the midnight oil or how we get her done. If you went to bed last night and you were looking for a draw in the World Cup, chances are you woke up a very, very happy customer here this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Gordon Gekko, by the way, underrated character out there. Greed is good. Great show. Matt Hume is going to join the program later on this hour from Las Vegas. Greg Peterson, also out there in the desert, will join us with his baseball picks here in hour number two. Chris Vasili is going to join the program and talk all things World Cup with all those nil-nil games and matches that we had yesterday. And Kyle Peterson is going to be back in the program here as we have two that have been sent home from Omaha here as we get down to the nitty-gritty in the college baseball World Series. But let's start off with the World Cup and what we saw last night in the FIFA World Cup. And again, we've got USA set to take the pitch on Friday. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Okay, Jensen, sometimes geography, it can be challenging for me. I'm not as great a world traveler. I've been to certain parts of the world, but you know, let's say Cape Verde, a stunning spot. I didn't know where that would be necessarily on a map, and yet they get a draw with the Spaniards yesterday. And we know Lionel Messi and Argentina are getting ready to take the pitch tonight, so it'll be great to see Messi back in action. But you called this yesterday. You had all those goals. You didn't need them. Great call by you.
It was amazing, right? Island country of Cape Verde, the central Atlantic Ocean, about 570 kilometers, not using miles here in honor of our world brethren there. It is off the northwest coast of Africa, third smallest nation in this World Cup, but they stood tall with arguably the biggest bully of them all. And they get a nil-nil draw, as you talked about, the only scoreless game of the four matches yesterday. However, it was 12-1 for it to be a draw. That was just the tip of the iceberg yesterday, as the successive matches after that, Dave, would end up drawing as well. Belgium and Egypt, 1-1 tie. Saudi Arabia, Uruguay, 1-1 tie. Iran gets a late goal to draw level with New Zealand. That was plus 230. If you had a four-leg parlay for $100 on all four of the matches to draw yesterday, that's a cool $64,000 winner. And I got to tell you, this has been remarkable. Eight of the 16 games, great friend of the show, Ben Fox over there at Yahoo, giving us the tale of the tape. 16 games, eight draws, you'd be up 26.5 units so far. And that is going to pay for plenty of the adult beverages or dinners wherever you may be. What a start to this FIFA World Cup. And these games, Dave, it's not like sleepy 0-0, 1-1. This has had high drama through the late minutes, through your favorite hydration breaks there in the second half. It's just setting the table. And as you mentioned today, a couple of stars of the sports, right? You get Lionel Messi in Argentina later on tonight. We'll get Kylian Mbappe in France. So the first match of the day at 3:00 Eastern, a lot on the table today, but what a start to the World Cup.
So again, I do know where Cape Fear is. That's down in North Carolina. I actually saw that. And after the movie, I was terrified to find out that that's an actual place, but pretty impressive to see what the other Cape was able to do yesterday against Spain. The Brendan Sorsby drama, I guess it's finally over now in college football. I mean, the twists and turns in this thing, and now he's going to enter the NFL supplemental draft. And Jensen, for a minute, when I saw this story yesterday, I went, oh, they still have the supplemental draft? Well, they do now. It'll be back certainly for Brendan Sorsby, and you have other players that have had entered this situation before. It's not as prominent as it used to be in the NFL, but Jensen, he will be eligible. They're going to be able to have, if you will, pro days starting in July. So teams can draft him in the supplemental draft for this year. So bye-bye, Lubbock. It's gone. It's over. I wonder if this was something that happened behind the scenes where they said, this has got to go away. This is untenable, and you can't play here in Lubbock any longer.
Well, a lot of that because of the Big 12 filing the federal injunction on Monday morning, and that would have, you know, at least laid the groundwork for discipline, at least that action against Texas Tech or against Sorsby. The NCAA, for what it's worth, had separately asked an appeals court for an expedited resolution to the local case. They're deciding the eligibility first and foremost. The other part of it too, Dave, and you mentioned the supplemental draft, that deadline to submit, I believe, was June 22nd. And so, you know, you're coming up on it here, trying to make a decision short-term, long-term. By and large, right decision. And Brennan Sorsby's legacy, he did not want to be remembered for a guy that ultimately blew up what the sport would be. Because that's ultimately what it was, dude. It's a ticking time bomb. You allow him to take the field for Texas Tech this year, the whole sport is shenanigans. And then you're just absolutely in an avalanche of negative action that would have surrounded college football for years to come.
There was an odd shift. Texas Tech was odds on to win the conference. They have now gone to slightly plus money here with this news that Sorsby will not be their quarterback this year, plus $1.05. If you're reading your daily newsletter there from Bill 80 this morning, you will have that as a VSiN Pro subscriber. So very interesting to see the changing numbers associated with this news here now that Brennan Sorsby will not be playing for Lubbock and the boys down in Texas Tech this year. Let's stay deep in the heart of Texas. How about the Cowboys? George Pickens is back. He did report to mandatory minicamp today. He didn't attend the OTAs. And remember, when you're going through this and you've been franchise tagged, those sort of things, some of these are optional, some of these are mandatory, hence the term in front of minicamp there. So he is there, Jensen. And again, I know whether you want the long-term extension or not, that's not going to be happening, I don't believe, for George this year. But again, at some point, you got to show up or else you're going to get fined. And now you showed up and you're not going to be fined. It feels like, to me, this was exactly what was going to happen all the time.
Yeah, we go to our source on the ground there by the Star. Let's bring in Dave Ross, one of our great correspondents there with the Dallas Cowboys. As you see it, sir, what is your feel on dynamic here? Because I know, you know, the expectations are what they are this year. You have him, you have CeeDee Lamb. Like, this kind of felt like that was a huge decision that Dak Prescott could have, as we like to call it in baseball, right? Ace 1A, Ace 1B. Your thoughts on kind of what this means and will it create or will it alleviate, I should say, unnecessary drama?
I think so. Now, you got to remember, George is one of those players. You were just talking about Sorsby and what a distraction that could be and what all. That's kind of very different reasons. George Pickens can be a ticking time bomb sometimes in locker rooms. He ran out of his welcome there in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin. And, you know, we've seen that happen before. When Mike Tomlin's getting rid of you, it's only for a reason. He had issues last year in games that we saw. Go back to the Vegas game here. Both he and CeeDee Lamb were disciplined by Brian Schottenheimer. So there have been instances and then maybe taking plays off on the field. We saw that happen last year. If George is wondering why he hasn't got the big money that he thinks he deserves, he's got another year to prove it down there in Dallas. So I hope he takes it the right way and realizes that nobody's doubting his talent. They're doubting other things, and that's the reason why people and teams have not committed to him fully. I think this is a good wake-up reminder, again, for a supremely talented player that Dak Prescott will go to the wall for, but now you've got to prove it and show your quarterback and your team you're responsible on and off the field. Are you feeling old yet? Tiago Splitter is the new head coach now of the Chicago Bulls. I mean, I remember he's playing some low post down there in his NBA career. Now, and another former player is going to be leading the Bulls. Remember, Billy Donovan stepped aside at the end of the last year. And, you know, we'll find out what this transition is like. But it's an interesting first-time hire here to be a head coach. But, Jensen, you can't be a retread in the NBA, which a lot of these guys are, until you get hired for the first time.
Yeah, a lot of this predicated off of the Portland Trailblazers' new owner, Thomas Dundon, who also owns the newly christened Stanley Cup champion Carolina Hurricanes. A lot of rumors about, quote unquote, being cheap with head coaching decisions as far as salary goes. So not a surprise that you want to go for greener pastures here. And let's face it, I think there was a lot of respect for Splitter. You looked at Portland kind of down the stretch. That was a team you might have felt, okay, maybe not ready to compete just yet, but on the horizon there quite quickly. Those guys were playing for him. And now you would think that a step up there to Chicago, hopefully the Bulls would be able to get that kind of buy-in from that squad as well.
And again, hopefully he does well. But again, you're seeing it right now with Mitch Johnson in San Antonio. Is he already on the hot seat for year number two? Mike Brown's been a retread. Now he's an NBA champion. I mean, that's kind of the thing. You got to work through it and find out whether you've got it. And you will learn whether it's your first time stay there for the long time or at another place somewhere down the road. How about Spencer Strider? He's been shut down for 4 weeks. Boy, the Mets got to him in his last start, and you went, boy, this doesn't seem like the same Spencer Strider. They do get Drake Baldwin back, which is good news. But Jensen, that talented right-hander, man, how concerning is this when you hear that he's going to be down for at least a month?
Yeah. Okay, not the end of the world. It's not the end-all, be-all. But, you know, you've had Tommy John in 2019. You had the internal brace surgery in April of 2024. Velocity down to 88. Dave, that to me is the bigger tell here is that it is, remember, earlier in the year, he's up to 96. Dave, that's 8 miles an hour. That is a solar system of difference. It's not necessarily the end here, bud. But I think we're done seeing Spencer Strider in the mid to high 90s for the rest of his career.
That is, I would find that quite concerning and find out if he can pitch a different way if he doesn't have that heater that he can fall back on. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to get your thoughts on the College World Series. I mentioned that we have a couple teams that have already exited Omaha, so we'll get to that when we come back and talk much more football. This Brendan Sorsby news, it's been absolutely as the world turns down there in Texas Tech and for the young man. So we'll find out what's next for him and the Red Raiders. We'll break it all down next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books, and VSiN.com has everything you need to bet smarter. Right now, when you check it out this morning, we've got Norway versus Iraq and World Cup best bets from Nigel Seeley. We got Austria against Jordan in the World Cup preview. Alex Blowers has got that covered for you. And Greg Peterson, who's going to be on the program a little bit later on, has got his Major League Baseball best bets. And later on today, we're going to have Wes Reynolds on tomorrow for our Wednesdays with Wes. His United States Open picks will be up later on today. Zach Cohen's going to have his tennis best bets out there. And Steve McAdam with his Major League Baseball analytics report. So that's when you check in a little bit later on today at VSiN.com. It's never too early, of course, to think about the NFL. And now you can get everything with our football season special for just $175. Get access to everything that VSiN offers through the Super Bowl in February. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and do so today. Jensen, very quickly before we turn our attention back to the NFL here, potentially the new quarterback that teams will have to discuss here. How about the College World Series? Because we saw that two got eliminated yesterday. If this was college football, there might be an uproar over those schools that are not there any longer. Are you surprised that Texas and Alabama have said goodbye to Omaha?
Well, Texas beat Alabama 14-2. Oklahoma beats Georgia 4-3. So Alabama is out, and that means we are down to six. Texas now stays alive, and they will play Georgia later on today. We'll have Kyle Peterson upcoming later in the show to preview two elimination games. That first one will be West Virginia against Troy. I had said it yesterday on Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Dustin Swedelson. I felt that Oklahoma was a team that before the tournament was great value. If you hadn't jumped in on the futures market there, they are making it stand up and then some. And you limit an offense like Georgia the way that Xander Mercurius did yesterday. He's a freshman now. and had come in with almost a 6 ERA and looked like Cy Young out there, really keeping that attack in tow there. So Oklahoma now 2-0, North Carolina 2-0. What will happen now, Dave, for those that are still kind of playing catch up, you'll have West Virginia and Troy. Winner moves on, loser is eliminated. They will then take on North Carolina tomorrow. And if North Carolina defeats that winner, North Carolina punches its ticket to the College World Series final. Same situation will transpire now for Texas and Georgia. Winner moves on to take on Oklahoma. Should Oklahoma win, then Oklahoma punches their ticket to the College World Series final. If the Sooners are defeated, then it is one additional winner take all to move on into the College World Series final. So we're getting down to it. Very exciting baseball here. And again, you really are going to be intrigued by where the totals are yesterday. The day games feel like the ball has been traveling a lot. Interested to see where we get some announced starters later on this morning, especially for West Virginia. I would imagine it's Dawson Montessa. We'll see what Troy and Skyler Meade wants to throw out there. But again, you'll get a good rematch here of Texas and Georgia, and we'll see where the pitching depth is going to be there for the Bulldogs up against a Longhorn squad that really flexed their offensive muscles yesterday afternoon.
I'm a little disappointed. I thought Bama might be a real player in the Jello shot contest here, but now being eliminated this early here from Omaha, we're down to six that we still have left. And as you mentioned, West Virginia against Troy. Troy, the longest of the long shots remaining at 80-1. West Virginia 17-1. The longer they go, the better shot they're going to have over there at Rocco's as well. We mentioned down in Texas, the big news today, if you're waking up and you've been keeping an eye on the Brendan Sorsby drama, it does feel like a soap opera that we've had here all summer long. And it looked like just last week he's going to be able to play, right? Got a local injunction from a judge down there in Lubbock, and it looked like, all right, he's going to be back in the team. Texas Tech had some press conferences, came out, and basically it was kind of bizarre press conferencing. Hey, the guy, I don't want to kind of use the phraseology they used as to how bad the crime was that Sorsby committed versus other crimes in society. It was a weird way to kind of go around it here to make Brendan Sorsby maybe a sympathetic figure, but he is now gone again, as he is now going to enter the supplemental draft. And that means in July here, Jensen teams can look at him now, hold those workouts. And if they want to sign him, you do have to give up a pick in next year's NFL draft for those not sure how the supplemental draft, if you deem him worthy to be drafted here. So he could be and probably will be, I would believe, in short order on an NFL roster this year, Jensen. And I guess the question now is in the NFL, and I'm no moral police here, you've seen guys with real, real issues that if they're good enough, they play. I'm talking about serious things that they've had to go through in court of laws, and I'm not to diminish what Brendan Sorsby has gone through. But I wonder, one, will it just be about talent to you when people evaluate him in these workouts come July? Or two, will they say, I don't know if I want this young man on my roster after what he's gone through here in college?
Okay, so this is America, home of the second chance. And this feels as though if you're an organization that's not going to compete this year, looking at you, Cleveland Browns, looking at you, Arizona Cardinals, looking at you, potentially Miami Dolphins, doesn't this feel like one of those organizations taking a shot here? And I know you get, remind me, Dave, and I'm not sure what the procedures are. What pick do NFL teams, if they select Sorsby here, where that is in the 2027 draft? Is that how that works? I can't remember off the top of my head, but it would feel like that if you were to put Sorsby in this coming draft, like I'm just hypothetically talking out loud with you on this portion of it, does he feel like a mid, like a late second, early third? Or is he a middle round pick in your eyes? Where would you kind of slot him, knowing the pedigree of quarterback that we are likely to have enter the 2027 draft?
It's a bit convoluted, but again, kind of the rules, the way this states, Your Honor, is teams submit a bid on a player, then indicating which round 1-7 they would be willing to select them with. So it is kind of that open market in the NFL, and this has changed a little bit through the years as it's gone. So the compensation is successfully draft a player. The winning team must forfeit the exact same round pick in the following year's standard NFL draft, i.e., You win a player with a third round bid, you lose your third round pick the next year. So if you want a first round pick on him, you bid for Brendan Sorsby, if you will, in a first round, and nobody else bids for him in that first round, auction, boom, sold Jensen Lewis to the Cleveland Browns, but it will cost you the first round pick in that next year. Nobody goes in the first round, second round. We begin the bidding there. So that it is a bizarre kind of system that they have for this supplemental draft. I can go way back and really show my age here, but back in Troy Aikman, when he came out and he was the first pick selected by the Cowboys back then overall number one in the real NFL draft, that same year, they took some guy named Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft. Jimmy Johnson did, because Jimmy Johnson had been the head coach at the University of Miami, who was his quarterback for the Canes. It was Steve Walsh. And there was actually a time in a place where people thought, wow, Steve Walsh might actually get the nod over Troy Aikman. There were actually debates about that, if you can believe that, before Aikman went on to win three Super Bowls. I don't know that that's going to be the case for Sorsby, but again, if you bid on him, Jensen, technically, in said first round of this supplemental draft, you would then have to forfeit your first-round pick. I can't imagine a team goes that high for Sorsby, depending on how he looks. But we should also remember, this was a guy pretty coveted out there. And I think that if this was a defensive end or a linebacker or a safety, he might be playing in college football this year. But because it is the quarterback position, because he is talented and kind of bounced around there, Indiana, Cincinnati, and the like, Texas Tech, that this wasn't just some run-of-the-mill player, Jensen. I do think there will be a market for him. I'll be curious in what round that market actually manifests itself here in that bidding.
Going to be fascinating, right, buddy? And again, all of this with the backdrop of this coming year, knowing what the quarterback crop potentially could be, that'd be a fascinating part. You and I are in a front office like, okay, would we rather go bid on this Sorsby dude, or would we rather wait? We know what we have in-house and see what comes out in the draft and have a full year of growth and evaluation of these quarterbacks currently in college. So one of the underlying storylines, if you will, of where this offseason continues to evolve.
Very quickly, because we'll never know, but this is the hypothetical, and I think it's a great question that you pose, and this is what front offices are probably doing right now that they know he's going to be available in the supplemental draft. Okay, let's say he had gone back to Texas Tech. They win the Big 12. They go to the college football playoff. He's a star. Where would his stock have been? He would have been a first-round pick next year.
Yeah.
More than likely, right? Isn't that fair to say in that spotlight? So I wonder if there are any GMs out there going, hey, man, I'm telling you, this is the guy we want. And forget about the gambling. Forget about that stuff. We'll clear all that up. That is going to be a very interesting game here, because you know people are going to want to get him on the cheap. My overall guess right now, Jensen, if you put an over-under on it right now, I'd say third round. I'd say there's going to be a team out there that's willing to give up a third-round pick next year to take a shot, because they roll the dice, the quarterback roulette in the NFL. They will roll those things every year, hoping they get the guy. And they'll find out if Brendan Sorsby can be the guy for what our team. That's going to be fascinating come next month in July. Always a great conversation to be had with Matt Eumanns. We've got our NFL guide coming out this month on the 22nd. I wonder if Matt's already put in his selections next. We'll discuss right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to get to our no-fly zone in the United States Open here. Golfers we don't want to have on our card this week. Jensen, that's going to be a lot of fun in the very next segment. But right now, joining us, as he does each and every Tuesday, super early from Las Vegas, the one and only Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Give him a follow on X at MattEumanns247. And Matt, before we get to the U.S. Open, Jensen and I have been talking a lot of NFL here. We got the betting guide that's coming out here on the 22nd for those that are not VSiN Pro subscribers yet. How are they coming up? Have you already written up what you like this year, or still working on that right now as we speak?
I'm working on it as we speak, trying to finish off a few teams. I'm doing the NFC West and the AFC West, and those are the top two divisions in the NFL right now. Obviously, the NFC West is the best. with the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers. But I was going through last year. I pretty much nailed the AFC West a year ago. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher to predict that division this year. But I do like the Chiefs to bounce back. And I like the Chargers. I think the Broncos are going to take a step back. I like the Chargers, but the Chargers have an extremely difficult schedule. Let me tell you this just briefly. The first 2 weeks after they play the Cardinals and the Raiders at home, they should be 2-0. The next seven games for the Chargers: at Buffalo, at Seattle, Broncos, at Kansas City, at the Rams, Texans, at Baltimore. That's about as tough as it gets. So you got to be a little bit hesitant to play the Chargers over 9.5. I think this team is talented enough to get there. You know what's interesting about the Rams when you talk about the NFC West? A year ago, after the draft, I bet the Rams 30-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. Now they're about 5-1. So you're not stealing anything if you're betting the Rams at this point, and I would not advise betting the Rams at that number. But it's NFL betting, guys, one of the best things we do at BSN every year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely, buddy. Excited to get going. I got my division predictions in yesterday and making a few adjustments on some of the best bets here moving forward. Speaking of, Dave and I cashing on the New York Knicks. Dave getting the plus 220. I got a 16-1 home for them to win the title. The finals are in the books. We've got the NBA draft coming up. Matt, just a couple of quick thoughts on what you think we learned from watching the Knicks come back from double-digit deficit after double-digit deficit. Wemby, don't be afraid to eat a steak there at Barry's or on the Amos before you hit the court next year. And then any thoughts on the NBA draft upcoming here in a week's time?
Yeah, a few quick thoughts on that. The Knicks, incredibly impressive to be able to come back in all of those games, you know, trailing by double digits and all three wins in San Antonio. And when you look back at this, you're going to say, how in the hell did a series favorite go 0-3 on their home floor? But the Spurs pulled that off somehow. It was really the perfect storm of a team choking while the other team was hitting clutch shots. And I can't say enough positive things about Jalen Brunson. I thought that he played okay in the first couple games of the series. Obviously was not very efficient, but to have 45 points in game five and hit big shot after big shot in the last couple of games of that series. I mean, he became a superstar. He really did. And pretty impressed with what the Knicks did. I thought Mike Brown did a pretty impressive job. He and his staff did a really good job coaching. And when you look at the Spurs, Mitch Johnson, young coach, is in way over his head. He was outmatched. And Mitch Johnson's got a lot of improvement to make. And when you look at the Spurs going forward, you would think they're only going to get stronger. But again, they're, well, plus 250 to win the West, which is stacked. And they got to make some changes. I'm not sure if Mitch Johnson's a coach they should stick with. In fact, I would not stick with them. They probably will. But also, you got to try to find a way you could maybe move De'Aaron Fox and make some improvements to that team. I'm not going to assume that the Spurs are going to be a championship team next year or the year after that unless they do make some changes, because I think they got some flaws on that roster. And we'll see if they can get those fixed. But that was an incredible finals. I think it might have gone down as one of the greatest NBA finals of all time if it had gone six games. I wish we were sitting here talking about a game six in New York. It would have been much better. And I'm really surprised that the Spurs dropped all three at home. But that's the way it goes, and credit to the Knicks. I did have the Knicks in the series at a few series best, but I also had it going over 5.5, and I didn't think the Spurs were going to lose game five, so that was something. If you know what, as far as the draft next week, on February 9th, I was looking this up, I bet A.J. DeBanza from BYU to be the number one overall pick at plus 550. And we were talking on VSIM Primetime that night about how much – you know, I dislike Darren Peterson, and if I'm an NBA talent evaluator, there's no way I was taking Peterson number one. And at that point, he was around minus 500 to be the number one overall pick. So I had to just make that DeBanza bet on principle and hope it played out the way I thought it would. And it has played out that way. DeBanza right now minus 400 to be the number one overall pick. And I don't see any way he's not number one, because you know the Utah Jazz wanted him at number two. And obviously the Washington Wizards, know that. So why would they ever take Peterson number one? If anything, you're going to trade the pick to Utah, let him move up to one, or you're just going to pick DeBancy yourself because you know that Utah wants him at two. So I can't see a change here at the top. I'd be stunned if DeBancy is not the number one pick. I'll give you one bet. If you look at the DraftKings board right now, I like this. I like this play. You can bet. You can bet on. I was trying to find the page here, but Kingston Flemings, the freshman guard from Houston, projected on most mock drafts, go somewhere around 6, 7, 8, maybe he'll slip to 9. His draft position is 9.5 under even money right now. Ooh. Yesterday was 10.5, but you had to pay, I think, -160 or somewhere around there to bet under 10.5. I like this bet under 9.5 at even money. I fully expect Flemings to go somewhere around 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, but I can't see him slipping any lower than that. And I don't see a bunch of props right now that would play in the draft, but that's one I think should be a winner.
That's why I love the futures market here, where you get DeBanza at +$5 here, Matt, back in February. You get the Rams at 30-1, and they're down to about +550. A nice work by you here to be able to look in that crystal ball a little bit down the future. Love those numbers. Let's do that for the U.S. Open here on a Tuesday, because we're going to kick this off at Shinnecock on Thursday. We know that Scottie Scheffler, single digits, depending on the book, he could be the only guy in single digits. Rory is popping at some places here about 9-1, but mostly 10s, 11-1s you can even find out there. What do you make of this? Is it going to be top heavy here? JJ Spahn wasn't on a lot of people's minds this time last year. He won the U.S. Open. What do you make of this year?
Well, Shinnecock is going to be an extremely difficult course for these guys. Wind's going to be blowing. The rough's going to be thick. Obviously, the fairways are wide, but if you miss the fairways, you're in big trouble. So approach shots are going to be really important. I'm looking for driving accuracy and guys who are really good around the green. Scottie Scheffler, something's been off of Scotty recently, and his putting has been a problem. Hopefully, he's got that figured out. And I think these greens are going to be really difficult. They're going to be fast, so I'm concerned about that aspect with Scotty. And I'm not crazy about him this week, but he's been so close so many times this year. A guy like that, you know, it bothers him. He's going to be grinding to get it right this week. And the Westgate Superbook went to 6-1 on Scheffler, so I actually bet him. I got him a +550 and 6-1. I'm going to give him one more shot here. And I'm also going to play Scheffler top five. You can find that price anywhere around. DraftKings +108, but I think there's +125 out there I'm trying to get. So I'm going to give Scotty another run here. I never bet this guy, but the last time this a major was played at Shinnecock, Tommy Fleetwood finished second. Mm-hmm. And Fleetwood doesn't win, but he's consistently in the hunt. And I think Tommy Fleetwood will find fairways, and he will be on that leaderboard. I'm going to play Fleetwood to win. I did bet him a 20-1. I'll play him a top 10 as well. Matt Fitzpatrick is another guy I think that can play well on this course. He usually disappoints me when I bet him, but I'm going to give Fitzmagic a run here, and I hope he comes through. Russell Henley is a player whose game probably fits this course, and I bet Henley last night at 35-1. And one more, I took a long shot on Shane Lowry at 80-1.
Oh,
I think some of these guys who play well in the wind might have an advantage this week, and that's one thing I'm looking at. I love your guys' idea about the no-fly zone and players you want to avoid, and I'll give you one. How about Ludvig Åberg, Dave Ross's favorite player? Åberg, I'm not sure if he's got the mental game to handle Shinnecock this week, and I fully expect him to blow up at some point. I'm also going to avoid Bryson DeChambeau, and those are two guys who will be on my no-fly zone.
Matt, I will just say, as big a fan as I am, I cannot lead the witness any longer. We will get to that in the very next segment. But let's just say sometimes great minds think alike. We'll leave it at that. Matt, we appreciate it as always, my man. Check him out. Matt Eubanks, 247 Houston Prime Time right here on the network. Let's do that. No fly zone, Jensen. It's coming up next. Talking Shinnecock right here. Beeson by the books.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Sports has got a high-stakes U.S. Open Golf Challenge, and it is live. $500 to enter for a shot at $100,000 guaranteed. Here's how it works. You got to pick six golfers, one from each of the six tiers. Your top five scores count. Your worst golfer gets dropped off the team. So the low score wins. So it's all about finding that value across the board, not just stacking those big favorites. So multiple entries are allowed. So build a few different lineups and increase your shot at the $100,000 grand prize. Right now, new players using the promo code VEASAN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20, and a 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. So sign up now at splashsports.com. Use that code VSIN. Got to be 21 years of age or older. Must be present in select states and see the sites for all the rules and the details. Jensen, we are not eligible for this tournament because they all know that if you and I enter, I mean, you know, just sign us the big check, the Happy Gilmore check right now. 100 grand. It's coming our way. It was a lot of fun having Matt Youmans on in the last segment, by the way. Please like, subscribe to the VEASAN by the Books podcast. Listen to that conversation on your time. And he loved our idea of the no-fly zone. And Jensen, if you're in the Splash Sports contest, if you're just picking here before you make those entries on Thursday, what you and I are going to try to do right now is give you three golfers that you and I will be avoiding like the plague this week at Shinnecock. We gave some of the do's and don'ts and some things you should really look at before you make those selections. So without further ado, Jensen, in reverse order, 3-1, let's give out our no-fly zone players. Now, my number three might surprise you a lot because this is a guy that I absolutely love to bet. Sorry, Brooks Koepka. You're out! I got to put you down. I can't keep sending you up this week. You're not playing. You know why it is? He would have absolutely been on my card this week. But last week at the RBC Canadian Open, Brooksy went out there. It's not that he shot two over par on Saturday then withdrew on the Sunday. It's the WD. And I know if you had a ticket on Brooks, you're going, well, the guy quit. No. He's injured. And I think you know my rule on injured golfers going into certainly a major tournament like this. I'm not playing him. He said he can't feel on his left hand in between his two fingers. And he said he could barely hold the club. And he still went out there and tried to play. He actually tried to grind his way through. This guy wants nothing more. The last time they played at Shinnecock, who won? Brooks Koepka. Who will not be winning this week? Brooks Koepka. I love you. When you're healthy, I'll bet you again. But this week, no fly zone. Brooks Koepka, number one on my list. Number two, Jensen. It's a great story. It's a golfer we all love. I don't trust you, Jordan Spieth. This is the type of golf course that you just can't go out there and have one of those holes. You know who has one of those holes every 4 days at a big boy event these days? Jordan Spieth. I talked about the mental capabilities at this golf course, how mentally tough you got to be. If there's one golfer that I do not look at and say, this is the guy that can grind his way through and not make a big number, I love Jordan Spieth. This guy, I think it's been misconstrued through the years. But I've called him a mental midget sometimes. I am too, Jordan, when I play golf. I'm a mental midget too. But I'm not also playing for the highest rewards out there in the world of golf. You are. And at the United States Open, I think even though the golf course might not be that too big for you, and I don't think it should be too bullish for you, I wonder about what goes on right here when you get around the greens this time. I cannot trust Jordan Spieth enough to play him on my card. The number one really might be the shock of all shockers, because anybody who knows me, if you follow me on social media, you know how much I love to bet, and this guy has cashed tickets for me, top 20s, top 10s, and yes, dare I say, top 5s. But my number one criteria this week was the mental capabilities that you could have around this golf course. My number three was bogey avoidance. This guy this year, it's a trap, and I'm not falling for the trap. I love you, Big Swede, but Matt Youmans even said it's almost like he knew that I could not play Ludvig Åberg this week. So the Big Swede is not on my card, certainly for an outright. For the first time all year, I don't know that I'm going to play Ludvig Åberg at any stage, whether that's for a top 10 live or top 5 live or a top 20. But right now, look, I do have to see the weather draw. I need to see if he can get a favorable draw. but there's too many right now what ifs. You know what he is right now in the world of golf? Jensen, this is the most talented player in my estimation. I know Scottie Scheffler is world number one, but as he is as talented as any player out there, and it's all right here for the big guy. And right now, he's the Victor Wembanyama of the PGA Tour. Guys have both been around now for about 3 years. We know that they're both supremely talented, but can they close when the going gets tough? I see a lot of Wemby right now in Ludwig, minus the temper tantrums, because Ludwig's very, very cool. But right now, Big Swede, I can't trust you to put you in outright, even though the talent says I absolutely should. I can't, and that comes from a place of love. Ludwig Åberg.
All right, Dave, too close for missiles, switching to guns here. And that means we start with Bryson DeChambeau. The power is great, but as you alluded to, Shinnecock favors precision and iron play over bombing it. So I'm going to get rid of the big bomber himself. And the wind, the penal rough, I prefer to say it penalizes you, Dave. If you want to say it penalizes you, however you want to look at it, it's no good in a U.S. Open setup here. If he's wild with the driving accuracy, I want no part of it. So Bryson DeChambeau, number three for me. The X-Man Xander Schauffele. Hey, usually it's an automatic top 20 when we get to major season. I just can't see it. The recent form is not something that I'm inspired by. He's had multiple finishes outside the top 10 or worse in some key events. Just one win, I think, since a big 2024 year, a couple of years ago when he was just nailing it left, right, and center. I don't think he has had a top five in his last five U.S. Opens. I'm pretty sure it's five for five that he has not finished there in his last five U.S. Open starts. And again, when you're looking for ball striking, you're looking for really good short game under pressure. His current form, it does not satisfy or check any of those boxes. So Xander Schauffele, number two. Great minds think alike, my friend. Brooks Koepka, we'd love to have a beer with you. We'd love to go to dinner with you and Jenna. Just don't want to do it here the next 4 days. Sorry, pal. You're probably packing it up after Friday afternoon. We know he just withdrew from the RBC, had the hand injury. Anytime we have that on the precipice of a major event, Dave, that's an automatic line through that name. If you've got a grip problem, Dave, you and I have been trying to get the grip right on our individual clubs here for quite some time to be able to shoot it low. Sorry, this is not a spot that I would want to invest hard-earned United States dollars on this great 250th anniversary of our country coming into its own. So, Brooks, you are what really emboldens the red, white, and blue. It's just not going to happen with the United States flag over your shoulder this weekend at the U.S. Open.
You know what we just did there, and again, this is highway to the danger zone, is that we try to give you guys that are, you know, these aren't long shots. Yes, Jordan Spieth is about 70-1 out there. He would qualify as a long shot, but we gave you essentially some shorter shot numbers out there that we're avoiding. Brooks Koepka right now, you're seeing him in the marketplace, 30-35-1s. Ludwig Åberg out there right now is about 27-1. Xander Schauffele on your list is 17-1 in some places. So we did give you some guys that we're looking to avoid. And Bryson DeChambeau, he didn't make my list, but I think there's a really good rationale as to why he's not on it for you at 30-1. So, Jensen, I hope that what we've tried to do here for people is show you we're fading some guys that maybe some bombs that you can avoid in your process here to get to that card, because I'm with you and a lot of these guys. One I might quarrel with a little bit, and that could be the X-Man this week. I'd like to think that this golf course would be okay for him, but I totally understand the rationale with recent form as to why he made your list. And again, Xander on the board is the fourth shot. So we didn't pick and choose some of these easy picks to just knock off. We gave you some shorter shots on the board here, people, of guys that we're going to avoid, at least on our cards this week. I like that exercise a lot. And again, I think the process shows that if you can start to eliminate certain guys, it'll open up that board for you a little bit. I think traditionally, Jensen, a lot of people like to take a unit, what shall we say, and break it up into five guys that they like to put on their board. So hopefully, if you follow along with me and Jensen, you've just excluded certain guys that you can avoid those pitfalls and get five quality guys on your list. And I hope I'm wrong about the Big Swede, Jensen. I want to get that out there for the people. I hope I'm wrong about Ludwig Åberg, and I hope he shows me that he's mentally tough to be able to handle a place like Shinnecock. I just don't see it right now, Jensen. So I'd like to be wrong there, but we'll find out. Okay, we have a lot more to get to. We'll talk about a U.S. Open here in the coming days. We're going to have Carl Paulson, PGA Tour, of course, played on the tour. He's going to be on the program tomorrow to break this down. Of course, our Wednesdays with Wes, we'll get their thoughts as well. But when we come back, let's talk more about the World Cup. Boy, if you liked the draws yesterday, you were in the green. That's for sure. That's next right here. Decent by the books.